This is Derek Pauly, a.k.a. Volley Pauly, from the Pauly's Pickings Podcast, and you're listening to Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Jim Ross State is Sid Vicious. We're live, pal.
We're live, pal.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest wrestling live episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye. Next to me, as always, PJ, Stephen. PJ, what's going on, bud?
You say next to you? I'm nowhere near you. I'm halfway across the country.
You're next to me on the screen, man. Come on.
You're next to me in my heart.
And yeah, I'm right here. If you're watching the show live.
Right next to my butthole.
I mean, listen, I don't know how to respond to that. I truly don't. If you're watching the show live with us, thanks for joining us. Make sure you leave comments below where you can be involved in the show. Tap Outs and Touchdowns on Twitter at Tap Outs and TDs, Facebook.com/Tap Outs and Touchdowns, and the YouTube channel as always at Tap Outs and Touchdowns. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling. And PJ and I guess we're just going to dive into it. We had some huge events over the past weekend with NXT TakeOver No Mercy, AEW Wrestle Dream. We're going to get into some New Japan in this show. And then we're going to preview this coming weekend's WWE Fastlane event, where only four matches have been determined as of yet. Again, make sure if you're watching the show live with us that you come and leave a comment and join the conversation with us, because we want to hear your thoughts on what is going on in the world of professional wrestling this week. So without further ado, PJ, you good starting off with NXT No Mercy?
I am pretty stoked. Okay, so we had a great weekend of wrestling, as you just stated. NXT No Mercy was fantastic. AEW Wrestle Dream was great. But NXT No Mercy, man, you know, I've got to admit, I've kind of fallen off a little bit of NXT ever since the Black and Gold went away, man. I mean, like, you know, it's still fun, but it hasn't been just so great to me. And this was great. I loved every single match on this show. Was spectacular, including, you know, obviously the main event with Stratton and Lynch. Great stuff, man. Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes was great. We're gonna get into each match here, but I loved every single match. Did you?
So I got to catch bits and pieces of it throughout my day today. And I say throughout my day today, meaning when I got home, I just kind of skipped around in it. I didn't have a match that I didn't particularly care for. The tag team match, the four-way tag team match, was a little much. NXT has always been notorious for opening up their takeovers with really good tag team matches.
Yeah,
they threw the tag team match here like in the middle of the card, and it was like, we don't know what to do with the tag teams here, so we're going to
What to do with the hands here?
Yeah, we're gonna throw them all in one match together. So that's what happened. I wasn't particularly fond of it. Again, I'm like you, man. I've kind of fallen off on NXT. I haven't really watched a whole lot of it lately, specifically since the departure of Mandy Rose. And it's not because I was boycotting NXT because they released Mandy Rose. It was just, I don't know, there wasn't the interest there for me. So
yeah, that's what I'd say too if I was a liar.
I mean, I sort of got into it a little while when Bron Breakker was first coming out.
Yeah.
I remember like thinking that this guy looked like the love child of both Rick and Scott Steiner, and then come to find out that he was the son of Rick Steiner. And there was obviously a storyline that involved Rick getting kidnapped and all that stuff amidst Rick Steiner's controversy. But yeah, I PJ, before we get into each individual matches, I want to ask you, when you look at this card, you've got Baron Corbin starting us off here with Bron Breakker. You've got Dominic Mysterio coming from the main roster. Now, albeit, I think we agreed at one point that I think Dominic Mysterio having a run on NXT probably would have been good for him.
Yeah.
Then you've got Butch here on this card. You've got Becky Lynch in the main event of this card. Real quick, Michael Davis coming in the show. Hey, Mike, what's going on, bud?
What's up, Michael?
Two excellent main events and a solid throughout. We completely agree with you. PJ, do you think that let me rephrase the question. How do you feel about NXT reaching back to getting stars from the main roster? They've been doing it for a while. But this show sort of screamed to me that there wasn't a lot of faith they had in their roster, which is why they brought so many people back from the main roster to help fill shows.
Totally agree with that. And it I mean, it's been happening ever since the Black and Gold went away, in my opinion. I think that era of NXT, I mean, you know, we used to talk every weekend about like, oh, another NXT pay-per-view was better than the WWE pay-per-view. That's just the way it was. It was definitely two separate things. And I think it's twofold that they're bringing people back. One, you're right. They don't have enough talent to fill in that NXT circle right now. They probably got guys in the back burner that's training right now at the Performance Center and places like that, you know, things like that. But also, I think that they want to try to get to where it's one entity, NXT and WWE. So I think that's helpful bringing those guys back. And plus, there was a long time. You remember the stigma that was like, well, if you went back to NXT, that was a downgrade. To me, I'm like, I think that's a little bit cooler. You go back down to NXT, it's a little bit smaller. You get to show off a little bit more, and you get to put your skills in. I like the fact that they take people for their main roster and throw them back in there for a little bit. I mean, like, Becky Lynch, it's almost like, you know, when you've done everything you can on the main roster and you go, well, I didn't go to NXT, I'll go down there and I'll show those little punks how to do it. I like that.
I mean, yeah, I get where you're coming from there. However, I understand where you're coming from the perspective of they're trying to show the newbies how it's done. And you know, maybe there might be some unfinished business down at NXT. I don't know. I feel like there should be enough talent down there, especially with the rate of the call-ups from NXT, that there should be enough talent left down there to field a show. And again, I know that the idea is to provide the evidence that they're one entity, NXT and WWE. But I don't know. Like, I think Baron Corbin is going to benefit from going back to NXT. He's been able to bring back the lone wolf gimmick, and he came to the show on a motorcycle.
To say his entrance was sick. I liked it.
Yeah. I don't understand why what Butch is doing back here, other than just putting on a really good match with Noam Dar. I was hoping if they're going to bring him back to NXT, the least they could do is give him his name back.
I hate that he's called Butch.
There's only one Butch, and he was one of the Bushwhackers.
When I think of Butch, I think of a very hairy lady.
You're going to get us canceled, PJ.
But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I like hair. I like sometimes when my women are hairy. You know, it's natural. I like the natural.
But yeah, no, but I
think of Butch.
But yeah, no, I mean, listen, it was some of it makes sense. Like bringing Apollo Crews back down there and just sort of feeding him to Bron Breakker didn't make sense.
Yeah, I think Apollo Crews should be, man, I think he should be top of the card. I've been saying that for years. Apollo Crews, UWAH Nation is one of their most missed opportunities of guys they brought in. I mean, he had a killer theme song. I still love that theme. They tried it with when Black Panther was coming out. They tried it with the little, you know, that kind of gimmick that just did not work. What was he supposed to be? What nationality was he supposed to be?
I want to say he's supposed to be Nigerian. I could be wrong.
You're right. It was. It was like the Nigerian prince or whatever that. Yeah. But anyway, it just didn't work. They should have just let Apollo Crews be Apollo Crews, coming out, teeth shining, smiling, and just kicking ass. Anyway.
Well, the show was, again, the show was real fun to watch. I specifically loved the intro, where they threw it back to the old No Mercy video game from Nintendo 64.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
Yeah. You talk about nostalgia acts. We're gonna get nostalgia when we talk AEW, but you can't tell me that WWE isn't pulling it at the heartstrings of nostalgia with some of the stuff they do specifically in NXT. I think Shawn Michaels actually came out and said that NXT is the closest thing to the Attitude Era we're gonna have, and I think it's primarily because most of their pay per views, most of their premium live events, most of their gimmick matches are based on things that happened in the Attitude Era. It was the Great American Bash. That was the the match between Ilya Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes.
We got Halloween Havoc coming up.
Yeah, Halloween Havoc is coming up. So a lot of stuff is.
Speaking of that, we're doing this on is today? Today's Monday,
October 2nd. Yeah,
it's, yeah. Happy Halloween too.
Yeah, we're officially in spooky season, if you will. Even though they've already got Christmas stuff in department stores and if they call them department stores anymore, big box chains and all that stuff. Let's talk about the event a little bit. Baron Corbin is going to get some help from Mr. Stone, otherwise known as Rob Stone or Robbie E from TNA days.
Yeah,
and Baron Corbin is going to get the one over Bron Breakker. You think the right guy went over here?
I don't actually. I get what they're doing. You know, they want to build up Baron Corbin a little bit more. They want to kind of push that rivalry with him and Bron Breakker. But I don't know, man. To me, Bron Breakker should be. I don't think he. I mean, I don't mind that he lost because you know the right guy, I guess, went over there. But man, he should be the Lesnar of NXT, man. I mean, he should be running that division, in my opinion. He should be doing with his what WCW wouldn't let his dad do. Because Rick Steiner was a hell of a talent. And he was always looked down on because Scott Steiner was there and he was more of the mouthpiece. And he had
the big bad booty daddy.
Big bad booty daddy, you know, because if you take 2/3 of that, I mean, anyway. But no, I think Rick Steiner, I think, you know, they should just let Bron Breakker be what Rick Steiner should have been.
No, I'm kind of there with
even
you.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Even in like late WCW when it was supposed to be Rick Steiner getting his revenge on Scott Steiner, and they still just drew it out to where honestly no one cared. Yeah. You saw
good
that?
Call.
Yeah, you like that. Yeah, but nobody cared because they weren't doing anything with Rick Steiner.
I mean, to me, the idea that like I don't ever think Rick Steiner really got his revenge on Scott. Like
no.
It was constant tag team matches where he never got his hands on him. But no, to your point, I like the idea of Bron Breakker being this unstoppable thing. But like, if you're gonna bring Baron Corbin back, like part of the reason why Baron Corbin went back to NXT, I think, was because he was failing on the main roster and he needed a refresh.
Yeah,
you know, he had sad Corbin when he was broke, and then he was happy Corbin for the longest time. They tried to put him with JBL.
I hate it.
That didn't work. Yeah, I mean, listen, I like the sad, depressed Corbin. Where he was out of his luck, and his wife left him, and she took kids, and he was just so down. I was like, I don't want to say I love sad Corbin, but I did. I thought it was good. I thought it made for good TV, and then it made sense as to how he made all his money back. But like at the same time, it was sort of a similar pathway of Cameron Grimes, where all of a sudden he hits the lottery and he wins big, and so it's a lazy storyline to me.
Let me ask you this because I struggle with this. Should Baron Corbin have beaten Kurt Angle?
No.
Hold
on. First of all, if anybody's watching live, make sure chime in with this stuff because we want to hear what you have to say about all this stuff too. Every single bit of it.
I don't want to hear it.
I do.
I really want to hear it. I'm sorry.
But no, like, yeah, it gives them something to say that Baron Corbin retired Kurt Angle, but.
But you think that Kurt Angle should have won, like no matter who he was working.
No.
Okay.
If you want to go out on your sword, go out on your sword.
So who
go get on your back?
Who should have went over? Who should have beat Kurt Angle?
I'm not sure.
Don't say John Cena.
No, Volley Polly comes in. He thinks that Kurt should have won against Baron Corbin. That's not to say.
Yeah, yeah. Now, between the two, Kurt Angle should have won, but it's one of those things where it's like I like guys going out of their back, especially we talked about the Sheamus Edge situation, which that is in the toilet now, and we'll get to that later. Speaking of Edge, it is. We literally just went over the thing. But who should have retired Kurt Angle?
You're not going to like it. I think it would have been okay if either a John Cena or a Brock Lesnar. Or think about the rivals that he had. Like, I think it wouldn't have been terrible if somebody like Triple H would have gone over him. Or
No, it doesn't need to be anyone who's already established. It needs to be somebody who needs the win. My thing is, Baron Corbin needed the win, but they didn't do anything with it.
Same thing with every single person that's ever won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Well, that doesn't count.
They're all released within the next 2 years, every one of them.
That's true. But my thing is, like, I don't think Lesnar should have retired Taker. not retired, but you know what I mean? He shouldn't have been in the streak. Lesnar didn't need that win. Should have been, to me, it should have been Wyatt. You could have done something. You could have done something to that WrestleMania 31. Now, who retired Taker? Roman Reigns, right? To me, that's fine. Because yeah.
Technically his last match was against
Goldberg, was, right?
No, he had a match with somebody on like a Survivor, or he had the match with AJ Styles, the cinema match.
Okay.
I think that was his last match.
Reigns technically retired him because the whole my yard now. I'm fine with that because it made a star.
We got a good suggestion here. Why not Chad Gable go over on Kurt and put him went, over?
At that time, no. He wasn't ready. He went there.
And we got Doug coming in saying Wyatt should have definitely taken the streak.
Doug is one of the best lawyers. I don't know what kind of law he practices, which I'm a terrible friend for not knowing, but he's a great lawyer in Somerville, South Carolina. I love Doug very much. He helped me
I know
out.
If I ever get in I trouble, I know to look somebody
yeah,
up down there.
Yeah, call up Doug. Also, big shout out to his brother, too, who's recovering for some stuff. Love you, Michael. Chad Gable wasn't there yet. You know, you talk about who should have retired Angle. Someone who could have used the win at that time. I mean, it's hard to say. But I it could have been
very. Gable was around, but it was around the time Jason. It was Alpha Academy, not Alpha Academy. Alpha.
He was yeah. No, it was Alpha Academy with him and Jason.
No, it wasn't Alpha. It was the Alpha Academy is who Gable and Otis are now. It was the It's gonna drive me nuts, but it was him and Jason Jordan when he was Jason Jordan's dad.
Oh my god, I forgot about that thing. Yeah,
Jason Jordan could have retired him.
No,
he had the look. He could have. I mean, if he had not gotten hurt, Jason Jordan probably could have been a potential really big star.
He had the look
that Vince liked. So let's move on from Barry.
He looks good. Look at him. My god.
As Big E would say, big beefy man bumping meat is what he likes. First of all, before we move on to the next match, we got a bunch of people here watching live on YouTube and Facebook. Make sure you leave a comment wherever it is that you're watching, and we'll read them live on the air. Shout out to Jamal for coming in and leaving a like over on Facebook. And make sure you join the conversation with us. We want your input on some of this stuff too.
I don't want Jamal's input.
Yeah, that's okay.
I do want Jamal. I'm just messing with you. I like Jamal.
Well, speaking of which, we got a comment here. Mama Frick's in the house again. Hello.
Oh
Mama
my
Frick.
God. I meant to have my British Bulldog Funko Pop, right? It's right over here. Thank you very much for that. That means a lot to me. So thank you very much. Here's to you, Mama Frick. But
also get another comment. James, I'm gonna butcher this last name.
That is Doug's son.
All right, right on.
His first metal show was Guardians Warlock.
Oh, and he probably stopped listening to metal altogether.
Poor bastard. Yeah.
Like, oh, that's what this is. Like, oh, we need to move on here.
I want to touch on something real quick because I just gotta say something. You know who should have retired Kurt Angle?
Who?
Samoa Joe.
That actually probably wouldn't. I wouldn't have minded that. That would have been great. I'll give you that. Props. Let's move on here in the car because we got a lot of stuff to get to. We're 20 minutes in. We haven't even gotten AEW yet. Trick Williams defeating Dominic Mysterio for the North American Championship. Listen, I'm going to start us off here for real quick because we're probably not going to spend a lot of time on this. Trick Williams is a former athlete at the University of South Carolina, my alma mater. Showed up on NXT in a Gamecock baseball jersey. I have been rooting for him ever since I found this information out. I love, love, love the fact that he was able to be the one to take the title off of Dominic Mysterio. PJ, you think they should have kept it going a while, or you think this is the right move?
It would have been fine to keep it going for a little bit, but honestly, maybe they thought it was Trick Williams' time because he is talented. He's great. And I do love – he's a South Carolina boy. You know, the Gamecocks are cool. I like them because you like them. I don't really care. It's pretty cool though, like that he went over. Anyone from South Carolina that goes over is fun.
Yeah. Listen.
And the match was great too. It was under 10 minutes. It wasn't rushed. It felt nice. Great pace. I loved it.
It was a very underrated match. And Dominic has grown in ring. I'm telling you,
I've been saying that Dom is the guy. Well, he's just Rey Mysterio's son. He's really good.
He's getting better, and that's encouraging for his future. Not to mention, so Trick Williams they're teasing a feud between him and Carmella. We'll get to at the end of this card. A couple more comments here. Doug says, "Not I do think not only should Trick have taken it, but it's going to feed it into Rhea being discussed in the Judgment Day. So yep. like, oh, I've been around. I haven't been around, and you guys are failing. I like that, Doug. That's good stuff. Matthew Link coming in. Whoop that trick. That's right. That's right. Pedro coming in. Hey, what's up, Pedro? With Carmelo possibly leaving soon, we haven't gotten to his result. Well, if you've read it across the bottom line, you've seen it. It makes sense for Trick to get the push. But he was surprised. Dom only going up from here. That's a possibility. Maybe he goes and challenges for a mid-card title on the main roster.
Dom. Now I just think of him as like Dum-Dum, like one of those little suckers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Dum-Dums, yeah. And then James loved the fact that Dom turned on Ray. And then Eddie Guerrero's son.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. I'm loving
it. Why don't you love me, Poppy? Why don't you love me?
Let's see. The next match was the match on the card that I said I didn't particularly care for. It was the tag team title match. The family taking on. I guess your pups didn't particularly care for it
either. Yeah, they didn't
like that one. Yeah. The family, which is the Don of NXT, and I can't even tell you his partner's name, defeated the Creed brothers, Carrillo and Garza, who have shifted from their gimmick where they were Los Lotharios and these ladies men. I don't know. They've got these new like wolf like scar tattoos on their chest. I don't know if they're real or not, because if it is, it's a total ripoff from the wolves over in TNA. And then Out the Mud, which is a new tag team that I had never heard before. I think it's their answer to losing Hit Row potentially. But a unique tag team, nevertheless. Like I said, the family goes over. D'Angelo, I can't think of his last name, but he leaves the match hurt, comes back, and ends up getting the win. PJ, anything in particular you care to add? I mean, it's okay if there isn't. Honestly.
No, great match, Let's move on. I enjoyed it.
Oh, look, throwing back from Volley Polly. Would it be the PBO candidate? If I had to give it, oh yes, this would be my piss break opportunity.
I didn't think I really had one. I mean, if I had to pick, maybe this one, but I still enjoyed this match.
Thank you, Doug. It's Tony D'Angelo. I knew it was something D'Angelo. I loved the Don. I liked it when he was like, I guess the last time I was really in NXT, he was still a heel, so it was sort of weird to me, to see him as a babyface and really over here. Next up on the card, Noam Dar for the Heritage Cup Championship, taking on Butch. I hate this gimmick. Don't bring a trophy to the ring. That's dumb. It's like if Owen Hart would have put his slammies up for grabs. Like it's dumb. I don't like the format where you get 6 3-minute rounds. This is the only part of WWE that they try to make it feel like real competition, so it doesn't fit. That being said, the match was fun. I enjoyed the match. PJ, how'd you feel about Pete Dunne versus Noam Dar? I'm not going to call him Butch. Pete Dunne versus Noam Dar here.
Yeah, I don't call him Butch either. I'd never really cared for Noam Dar. Even going back and rewatching some of the CWC stuff, I really didn't care for him. Great talent, but yeah, just didn't really care for him. But I will say that, you know, you talk about bringing trophies to ring. We're really referencing the same guy here. You know, Edge used to do that. He brought his King of the Ring trophy to the ring. And we're going to talk a lot about it.
Did he defend the King of the Ring trophy, though?
No, he didn't. You're right. No,
yeah.
Just say Owen didn't defend. He doesn't look like a Butch.
Matthew Link saying he doesn't look like a Butch.
I said the same thing. Me and Matt are on the same.
And Joe Dabbit up in the chat. What's up, Joe? Saying thank you. It's always been
Joe. I need those hotel deets, man, because we will be in Vegas for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I cannot wait. We're going to rock it. I've seen a little bit of the card, but I've already told you who I'm seeing, right? Have I told you on the air who I'm seeing?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Can I say it again?
Yeah, sure.
Joe, if you're listening, I don't know if you heard this yet, but we're going to see Tiger Mask perform live. Like if they're a band, Tiger Mask. Tiger Mask. One of my favorite New Japan guys is going to be in Vegas, and we're going to see him wrestle. I cannot wait. So, Joe, if you're just not hearing that, we're going to get to see Tiger Mask. Very, very fun stuff.
He says he's going to bring the hotels and flight deets this week for you. Let's move on to the card because we're getting up against it. We still got a lot to get to here. Next up was the NXT Championship match between Ilya Dragunov. I'm never going to pronounce the name right. Defeating
Just call him Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago. Yeah, I like that. Ivan Drago.
You know that's from?
Yes, Rocky.
Which one?
Rocky 4.
There you go.
Yeah.
Easy way out.
He's the one that killed Apollo Creed.
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen Rocky 4, it's been out for like 40 years. It's your fault.
If he spoils it, he spoils it.
This match was brutal. It was tough.
Yeah.
It was very physical. I think the right guy went over here. Before we go on. Okay. Yeah. Joe's saying that he's ready for it all. I don't want to skip over it because again, with Carmelo Hayes losing this title, there's a solid chance that we're setting up a heel turn from Carmelo Hayes to go back and defeat Trick Williams, because the whole storyline was that they were both going to leave No Mercy with titles, and only Trick Williams did. So yeah. Thoughts on the future for Carmelo and Trick Williams?
I loved this match. I love Dragunov. He's a fantastic wrestler. You know who trained him, right?
I'm not. No, not aware.
It's Axel Tischer is his name, but you might know him as Alexander Wolf. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He trained Dragunov.
I had no idea. That's phenomenal. Because he's still wrestling, is he not?
I'm pretty sure he is, yes.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, yeah, I'm excited to see the future here. It's the first new champion we've had in a while since Carmelo took the title from Bron Breakker.
Oh, you know what it is? He's wrestling for Progress now. That's what it is. I can't remember. Yeah.
All right. The main event of WWE or NXT, I should say, No Mercy. Featured Tiffany Stratton against Becky Lynch for the NXT Women's Championship in an Extreme Rules match. I think the biggest news coming out of this match was that Becky Lynch absolutely gashed the inside of her arm, needed 11 stitches. She's supposed to defend the NXT Women's Championship against Tegan Nox on Raw tonight. We're recording this Monday, October 2nd, and she is not medically cleared because of those stitches. A brutal match. Tiffany Stratton's getting a lot of credit for this match. I enjoyed it from what I got to see of it. Again, I don't understand. I understand Becky never won the NXT Women's title. Yeah. I understand letting her get a run with it if that's what you want to do. But it tells me how little faith they have in the women's roster in NXT to let Becky Lynch take this. Before we talk about that a little more, Doug Laughlin comes back in. Wonder if Carmelo might be getting called up. It always felt like Dragunov has been missing something. Not sure. So he was surprised that he went over. There's also been rumors that Shawn Michaels told Carmelo he wasn't ready to move up, and then Carmelo's basically taken that as a badge of honor, saying, "Yeah, I still got work to do." So we'll see what happens there. PJ, Matthew Leak comes in. Becky Lynch easily top five, top two women wrestler of all time.
Top two's hard, but I would say top five. Becky Lynch, yeah. Absolutely.
I'd give her top five.
Money on there too. Mercedes Moné. I put Mercedes on there.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there. Before we take our first break, PJ, any last thoughts on the show? Any thoughts on the Tiffany Stratton Becky match?
It was brutal. It was terrific. I think that both those women did a fantastic job. I will say this pay-per-view did a lot for me personally, because now I'm going to continue to watch more NXT.
And it's
no fault of theirs that I wasn't per se. It's just they just kind of lost me, and it's just me. I'm an old boomer who misses the 80s wrestling, but I miss the black and gold, and it's hard for me to get past that. But this made me this brought me back, and I appreciate it. They all did a good job.
NXT No Mercy, a phenomenal show. If you haven't seen it, make sure you go check it out. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk AEW Wrestle Dream. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today. And make sure you tell them that Ryan from Tap Out and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
As we come back from break and PJ is showing off his Vader action figure, let's get into AEW's Wrestle Dream, because a lot of stuff happened in this event. Yeah, that's what I was. I was also going to mention that too, Matthew. He's she's not cleared because of that gash in her arm. Doug, thanks for the PJ. Thanks for the invite to the show, PJ. He does real estate law and estate planning.
That's what Columbia. It is.
You know, that's a little free plug right there. Close property all over state. Maybe we should get you in here and let you. You saw the little plug that I just gave Carolina Business Equipment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all it takes is just you know.
Just open up that checkbook, bud. You're an attorney. You can afford it. I can't believe we're pandering for sponsorships live on the air.
What is the thing from Wayne's World where it's like we would never give away from to sponsors, and then you know you put on the Burger King.
Yeah, I would never tell anybody that the only highlighter I use is Sharpie highlighters, and they're the best.
I just don't have any respect for someone who doesn't use Wayman stainless steel.
This is dirty. This is hilarious. Oh, all right, let's get into AEW Wrestle Dream because a lot of stuff happened.
I threw away my can, but I'm also drinking a Guinness.
Oh, right on. there we go. So yeah, maybe we got a new sponsor, PJ. I'll let you.
Oh, you know what? I forgot that. He just sponsored BCW and got to hang out in the ring with him and his kid James.
Well, that's fantastic stuff. I'm not trying to skip over that, but I know we're about halfway through our show, and we still got AEW.
And we're gonna wrestle. We're gonna ruffle some feathers. So here we go.
Oh, this is fantastic. All right, Wrestle Dream took place over the weekend. I think the biggest news coming out of this card is not any of the results. You had MJF in a handicap match for the Ring of Honor tag team titles that he retained. You had a TBS championship match in which Chris Statlander retained her title. List goes on. Young Bucks win another four-way tag team match to get a shot at an AEW tag team championship, sometime in the future. But the biggest news came out of the main event, Christian Cage versus Darby Allin for the TNT championship in a 2 out of 3 falls match. I need to go back. Listen, full disclosure, I have not watched this pay-per-view yet. I have seen clips, a lot of which were sent to me by PJ. That main event seemed to get out of hand because the entire padding of that wrestling ring was gone. And I saw Christian hit the kill switch on Darby Allin to get the final fall and to retain his TNT championship. Then you see the attack by Christian. And remind me of the guy's name again, PJ, because I had to ask you that.
Nick Wayne.
Nick Wayne continues to help Christian attack Darby Allin. You get some little video vignettes, and it's made very clear that there's somebody new coming into AEW. Middle is All Elite. That's right. The rated G superstar, the middle, is here. I'm kidding. It's just the opposite of rated R, the opposite of Edge. Adam Copeland, otherwise known as WWE's Edge, has debuted for All Elite Wrestling with his Metalingus theme music, in which he came out afterwards and said that they are good friends of his and that his music will go wherever he goes. That is part of his, I guess, requirement in order to go anywhere, and comes and interrupts the beatdown on both Darby Allin and Sting, who came out to rescue Darby Allin. It looked like they were going to give Edge the chair. I'm going to call him Edge because I don't care. He gave Edge the chair to hit a concerto on Sting, and instead he turns it and hits Nick Wayne, hits Luchasaurus, and Edge is immediately thrust into the babyface picture in AEW. PJ, you've got some thoughts see you later, Volley Polly. He said he's got to go back to work and finish the show later. Joe comes back in. The rated R superstar is now in AEW. PJ, you had some, I wouldn't say they were strong thoughts, but you had some thoughts on this that were nicer than mine. Now, I've come around since then, but give us your thoughts. And if you're watching the show live, make sure you give us your thoughts in the comments, and we'll put them up here and we'll talk about them too. What are your thoughts on Adam Copeland, aka Edge, now finally leaving WWE and being a part of AEW?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Wrestle Dream just for a little bit here. To me, it was a little too long. And I usually don't say that about AEW pay-per-views because there's a lot of content that's usually really, really good. But I was disappointed here because when you think Wrestle Dream, there wasn't a whole lot of dream here. And also, it was supposed to be And I know it was last minute, so I don't blame, you know, AEW, you know, per se. But it was supposed to be a tribute to Antonio Inoki. I would have loved to see a little bit more New Japan talent there.
Yeah, because you had Shibata. You had Shibata taking on Eddie Kingston for the IWGP Strong Openweight
Great match. Fantastic match. Great stuff. I just, you know, and this is me just being picky, you know, like New Japan's my favorite promotion. They're what I watch religiously. Wrestle Dream, Antonio Inoki should have been more New Japan talent. That being said, yes, Eddie Kingston, Shibata had a great match, 11-minute match for the Ring of Honor and the Strong World Openweight Championship. Fantastic. Statlander and Julia Hart, I'm not a fan of Julia Hart. I know that she's just supposed to be a valet for House of Black. To me, she should not be in a ring. I'm not a fan of her. Maybe I'm really terrible. Young Bucks going over. Great match. Fatal 4-Way tag team match for a future AEW title shot. Let's talk about Swerve Strickland and Hangman Adam Page, because that is an underrated match of the night. 20 minutes here. That match was unbelievable, and there were a lot of people who were saying that, well, AEW is just going to put Hangman Adam Page over, and they did not even close. Swerve Strickland went over, and it was a fantastic match. Ricky Starks, I still believe, is the future of the business. He took on Wheeler Yuta and beat him in about 10 minutes. I'm going to skip over the Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. because I got things to say about that. The six-man tag match between Takeshita and Will Ospreay and Sammy Guevara took on Jericho and the Golden Elite, who was Ibushi and Omega. Golden Elite and Jericho actually lost the match, which that was a big surprise, but that match was chaotic but super fun. FTR defeated Aussie Open in about 20 minutes. That match was insane. I don't think Aussie Open gets the credit that they deserve. Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis are incredible talents. And
real quick, before I don't mean to interrupt, I don't want to skip over it. Quick, first of all, Doug comes back saying it was too long and not much was too exciting. It was good, but AEW shows are usually much better than good. Now, with Aussie Open, because they've done a lot of work here in AEW, competing for not only the AEW tag titles, but the Ring of Honor tag titles, you think there's eventually a time when Aussie Open, including and why is his name? He's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Will Ospreay.
Thank you. That's it's been that kind of.
I just figured who you were talking about when you said one of the greatest wrestlers in the world.
Yeah,
Will Ospreay's top of the map right now.
You think there's ever opportunity for them to come to AEW full time and leave New Japan altogether?
Will Ospreay will never leave New Japan. Maybe Aussie Open will. Maybe, I don't know their story, but Will Ospreay has made it very clear that he will stay in New Japan until probably he dies.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't want to go anywhere else, and I don't blame him.
What if New Japan strikes a deal with WWE and allows him to work a WWE show? Because there's a rumor that there's a network in Japan now that has both WWE programming and I believe it's not. Is it Noah?
Pro Wrestling Noah. That's Kenji Muto, Great Muta's promotion.
So they're both on the same network in Japan. So there's a rumor that came out earlier today or sometime over the weekend. That there's a chance that they could spark a spot partnership. So you think, in the absolute crazy hypothetical, that there's a chance that New Japan ever works with WWE again, that Sabre Jr. shows up on a WWE televised programming?
Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah, not Will Ospreay.
That's what I say. Zack Sabre Jr. I meant Will Ospreay. So yeah, you don't think Will Ospreay?
Well, Zack Sabre Jr. He's already worked for the WWE because he did the CWC. Along with Kota Ibushi. But no, I don't think Will Ospreay does it unless he's still working for New Japan. Kind of like how, you know, New Japan and AEW work together. He's still working for New Japan, but he's over there doing AEW stuff. I don't think it ever happens. But then we thought that Edge would never debut on AEW, and look what happened.
Yeah, I've never been more wrong about anything in my life. And I went 1-7 in my buys and sells on my football show this past week. Doug comes back. I have conflicting thoughts about MJF and the Righteous. It was funny, almost cartoonish. But I don't see that they did Righteous any favors, having them destroyed by one man alone, clean, even if he is the current AEW champion.
I agree with that. I skipped over it because we had more to talk about, but I agree with that, Doug. MJF is not this big monster. He's not a Brian Cage or a Lesnar, and I agree with you. It didn't
even a Braun Strowman.
No. It
Braun Strowman won the tag titles with a 10-year-old. Yeah, the MJF ain't it.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? And that's why Will Ospreay doesn't want to go to WWE. So before I get to the main event, I want to talk about Brian Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. That was supposed to be the big sell. Of course, the last big match, dream match that you had was Brian Danielson and Kazuchika Okada at Forbidden Door 2, which was just spectacular. I loved it so much. Brian Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. had an amazing match. And to get a little to people who are new to New Japan and don't, you know, get their style, the strong style, the catch as catch can kind of stuff, that's a great example of a New Japan main event, in my opinion. That was Wrestle Kingdom worthy, not as long as usually they are, but that match was incredible. I really enjoyed it because it was pure wrestling and it was just two athletes calling it in the ring and just going. And I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, that's one match I do want to go back and see. I mean, yeah, Brian Danielson is probably my favorite wrestler as an adult. Between him and AJ Styles are the two guys that, like, I don't want to miss anything they do. So I can't wait to see that. Now, let's go back, because it was a question I posed when we started talking about this. The main event, Christian retains the TNT Championship after he won it in a triple threat match where he took the title off of his own guy, Luchasaurus. Edge is all elite. PJ, your thoughts?
I love it. I love it because it's what Adam Copeland wanted.
Yeah.
He you know, his contract ran out. He couldn't for what, you know, take it with a grain of salt. He was happy, but they couldn't decide on another contract. They couldn't decide on whether it was creative or money or whatever. They couldn't decide. Copeland took his ball and went home and went to another promotion where he could challenge himself. Literally what he said. I want to be challenged. I want to challenge myself and do something different. I love it as well because maybe now I get to see, you know, someone I grew up watching, Edge, at a Wrestle Kingdom. Or in some sort of Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling program. I would love that. You telling me you wouldn't want to see Edge and Okada? You telling me you wouldn't want to see Edge and Naito? You know, Edge and Christian team up to take on Naito and Takahashi. I mean, you have so many different. I tell you what, I don't want to see. I don't want to see the Hardys versus Edge and Christian again.
No, listen, I'm gonna touch on sort of everything you talked about. First of all, I originally didn't like it. I thought that Edge was going to be one of those guys like Taker did once he. Now Edge, unfortunately, like he never got WCW experience, right? Like he had like a match, yeah, like a dark match here and there, or something like that. But when he got to WWE, he was a lifer, like the Undertaker was. So I never expected to see Edge anywhere else. Kind of like we never expected to see Christian anywhere until we saw him in TNA winning the world title.
God, that was so great with him. The program he was doing with him, Sting, and Jeff Jarrett and all that, I loved it.
Yeah, so I didn't like it for those reasons. But when you look at it from the other perspective, like you said, it's what Adam Copeland wanted to do. Yeah. He said that there was stuff that he wanted to do and things that he wanted to accomplish that weren't being offered in WWE. And he's not ready to hang it up. I mean, it's kind of like why Paige, a.k.a. Saraya, would eventually leave. It's why Brian Danielson left. It's why FTR left, because FTR didn't want to get put in clown costumes
and shave each other's backs.
Yep. And so these guys get these bad raps and people love them when they're in WWE. And as soon as they decide, you know what, I don't like it here anymore, I'm ready to leave, everyone turns their backs on him. So, you know, this guy was washed. He wasn't all that good in WWE anyway. And he's just going to the minor leagues. He's just going to an indie show with a TV contract. And it's essentially like, It's almost as if they have stock with the big companies. Like somehow these guys leaving is affecting their pockets and their bottom lines. And like some of these people out here, like us, for example, we're out here doing this podcast. We're not making any money off of it. We're just out here talking wrestling. I talk football once a week. And we're just out here having a good time. It's because it's what we want to do. And if money comes from it, like, so be it. Like, that's awesome, right? Some of these guys don't care about, like, and you're granted they're going to get paid, but some of these people don't want money to sit home and not work, like a lot of the WCW guys did when Turner, you know, or when AOL Time Warner sold
to me. Guaranteed contracts.
So I can no longer, especially after this situation, because again, I have never been more wrong about something that I predicted in pro wrestling than this. I said there's no way I would have put my, I would have put a year's salary on it that Edge would have never wound up in AEW. And he did. But at the end of the day, these people are just that. They're people.
Yeah.
They do what they want to do. They're going to go out and find what makes them happy. And if Edge is going to be happy and maybe they draw some new eyes to the product. I mean, granted, we talked about the fact that his best match since he returned from injury was against Sheamus and what we thought was his retirement match.
I agree. You know, I said that today. You know, I said that, you know, after the lackluster run that he's had, he probably really wants to do something else.
So you wonder if he's going to be able to put those caliber matches on like he did with Sheamus in AEW, because AEW goes, I think, I don't want to say they go harder, but there's a lot of people in AEW that aren't as seasoned, let's say, in his style of wrestling.
Let me tell you something. I think if Sting can handle it okay, I think Edge will too. And I know they handle Sting a different way.
Listen,
and I'm with that, but I think Edge will. I think
you sent me the picture of Edge and Sting shaking hands, and like this wouldn't happen in WWE, which is fine. But not once in my life did I ever think, you know what, I need to see Edge and Sting in a ring together. It just never came across my mind.
But isn't it awesome?
I mean, I'm not going to call it awesome. I mean, you talked about the fact that like some guys need to hang it up. And I think we may have been in agreement that after the Sheamus match, we wouldn't have been upset if Edge hung it up.
No, not at all.
But at the same time, I wasn't clamoring to see more of Edge. But again, if Adam Copeland wants to go and wrestle more, and if he can put on some good matches, and he, listen, if he's happy, that's all that matters to me. Like I could care less if he's in WWE, if he's in Impact, if he's in AEW. Imagine the partnership that AEW has had with Impact in the past.
Yep.
Edge could show up on an episode of Impact now. It's crazy to think about. And not to mention the fact that I said it in a group chat earlier today, they're eventually going to set this up where you've got this rivalry with Edge and Christian. They're going to fight each other one-on-one a few times. Edge is going to, you know, have this program where he says, Christian, you're better than this. You're not this guy. Like, come back to the bright side. And you're going to have a babyface turn for Christian again. So you're going to get one last one with Edge and Christian. I'm with you. I don't need to see him with the Hardys again. But more than likely, you're going to get Edge and Christian versus the Young Bucks. Edge and Christian versus FTR. Edge and Christian versus maybe Aussie Open versus the Acclaimed. You're going to have some matches that Edge and Christian could probably do really well with in AEW, in New Japan potentially, that were never going to happen in WWE. And you're going to get this final run. And I give it 2 years and Edge and Christian both retire together. I don't see them doing it into their 50s with Christian's concussion history, with Edge's neck history. I don't see this going long term. But it was still, listen, it was a really exciting moment for AEW in the history of that company. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, that again, they complain about how AEW has become WWE Lite. This kind of thing's been going on for decades. Even in the territorial days, if you were able to pull some guys from the Mid-Atlantic to the Northeast to wrestle for Vince, or you're able to pull some guys from the Northeast to wrestle in Memphis, and then in WCW, you know, you had to pull eyes because at the time it was Ric Flair, Sting, Arn Anderson, it was the Four Horsemen. You had to bring some new eyes on the product. So you're going to go get those big names, or at least they used to be big names in WWE, to get down to WCW to turn eyes on the product. Now, the problem is that AEW's history, they haven't particularly been able to capitalize on the people that they've signed. And so you don't want Edge to be another one of those guys that comes in, signs, and then falls to the wayside of being some mid-carder nostalgia act that a lot of these guys, you know, kind of we expect to be. PJ, I want to get to New Japan, and we've only got like 10 more minutes left in the show. I did a lot of talking after you did a lot of talking. Is there anything else you want to add about the fact that of AEW Wrestle Dream? Is there anything else you want to add about Adam Copeland in AEW? Real quick, Doug says he's here for all of it, but worried pulling the trigger, switching Christian face to join Adam too quickly. Christian is doing some of the best work in his career, making fun of people's dead dads.
That's what I told you, like with Nick Wayne, where he was like, you know, your dad's dead. If you ever need a dad, you know, I could be, you know, your dad. Anyway, I will talk a little bit, just very briefly. You know, you talk about guys who are so upset about. It's the same way to me where it's like, when a football player goes to another team, it's like, oh, he put on a different shirt. That's all it is. It's still a dude. He still went to another team. He's still making money, and hopefully, he's happy because I know it's different with football because they get drafted. Yeah. Listen,
I'm a dude. I'm a dude. He's a dude.
He's a dude. We're all dudes.
Because we're all dudes. Hey.
Hey.
You know?
I'm a dude. Yeah. God, I want a good burger. I got lasagna. Anyway, I agree that whatever makes Adam Copeland happy. I mean, it doesn't, you know, when you talk about, you know, them, you know, making fun of Adam because he went from WWE to AEW, you know, I think it's a downgrade when Nakamura went to WWE from New Japan. And it proved to me it's a total downgrade because what the hell has he done except maybe win the Intercontinental Champion a little bit and cut some foreign promos because that's all they knew how to book him for, and kick AJ Styles in the balls.
Those promos that he's been doing with Seth Rollins have been phenomenal.
Oh, it's been phenomenal, AJ Styles. But yeah. No, been phenomenal, been fantastic. Some of the best work he's done. And what else from that? I think that this is a refresh for Adam Copeland. I think that same thing with Cody going to WWE is a great refresh for Cody. I respect, because WWE is obviously bigger than AEW. I'm not debating that. But I think it takes a lot of balls to be like, I don't want to be here. I'll go somewhere else. And taking your ball and going home, and it's happened through the history of this business. And it's no different. So that's all I'm going to say.
I'm with you. AEW, Wrestle Dream, apparently a pretty good show. According to some people in the chat, not a great show, but a good show. I know there's a couple matches that I want to go see, Bryan Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. I do want to see the main event and watch all that unfold. So if you haven't gotten to check it out, find a way to do it, one way or the other. PJ, this is something that you've been wanting to talk about because we talk about it off the air all the time. New Japan's Road to Destruction. We talk about the road to Wrestle Kingdom. We talk about the road to WrestleMania. We're on the road to destruction because we've got a big New Japan event that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is their main event. I guess their main pay per view prior to Wrestle Kingdom. So this is your baby, man. I'm gonna let you have the floor, and then we're gonna take our last break and preview some WWE Fastlane.
Heard, thank you. So it's not the last pay per view before Wrestle Kingdom. It's not the big one, but it is one of the big ones. Destruction and Rigoguku. I can never say that. Ryogoku. It's October 9th on a Monday, which is just ridiculous, but whatever. I want to talk about a little bit of the matches here. Nothing crazy, but I want to get to at least 60-minute limit. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion. It's Clark Connors and a new guy that's coming on the scene here, Drilla Maloney, and they're taking on Kevin Knight and Kushida. I'm big fan of Kushida, obviously big fan of Kevin Knight, so I think that should be really good. I have to actually look up when Drilla and Clark actually got that those belts because I guess I missed that. Best of 7 series, where it's going to be Master Watu, Shota Umino, and Yuji Nagata. And they're taking on my man, El Desperado, Rin Narita, and then Minoru Suzuki. You know, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Strong open weight tag team champion matches on the line when El Fantasma and Hikuleo, who's a fantastic tag team, great chemistry there.
Hikuleo is a lot bigger than you would expect, too. That's the guy, right?
He's a big dude. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
They're taking on Gabe Kidd and Alex Coughlin, who is your strong open weight champion. They are the Bullet Club War Dogs, which I love that new T-shirt. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'll send it to you. It's really cool. These guys are young lions who got a chip on their shoulder, joined the Bullet Club along with David Finlay, and they're running rapid. I love it. Never openly six-man tag team champion when Josh Alexander, who actually had a great match with Claudio, Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley are taking on Tomohiro Ishii, Tanahashi, and Okada. The Motor City Machine Guns are teaming up with Josh Alexander, taking on Ishii, Tanahashi, and Okada.
Wow. On a New Japan show.
Wow.
That's insane, dude. That's good booking right there.
Love it. It is, though, right? Anyway.
That's good booking.
Tama Tonga is going to take on David Finlay for the Never Open Weight Championship. David Finlay has won me over as the leader of Bullet Club. I've been loving it. I want to talk a little bit about this gentleman here, Lilo Rush, who just teamed up with Okada to take on Takahashi and Naito. Lilo Rush got the pin. Man, Lilo Rush gets a bad gimmick. Gets a bad rap. Lilo Rush is fantastic. But because he's retired twice, people make fun of him. And I think it's insane to me. He retired once because he had an injury when he had his baby. And then he retired a second time for mental health. And it's funny that the same men who were like making fun of him for retiring for mental health are the same ones that say nobody cares about men's mental health. And I think it's just fickle, fickle wrestling fans.
Hypocrisy.
And it's insane to me how great Lilo Rush is and how he's just so underappreciated. And the only thing that shit wrestling fans can do is just make fun of him. And it's insane to me. Yeah. But he's going to be in this three-way match here with for the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. He got added to this match after he pinned Takahashi. It's Lilo Rush, Himuro Takahashi, who's your champion. And the third man is Mike Bailey. Who, if you remember Mike Bailey, he was a PWG legend. Nah, I wouldn't say legend, but he wrestled a lot in PWG, terrific talent. And we saw him take on Dax Harwood at WrestleCade in November, me and Tyler Roberts. Lumberjack match. Lumberjack death match is what this is. And it is Sonata versus Evil for the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. As you can remember, Evil took Sonata's belt. He doesn't have the belt. Well, he has it, but
he's not the champion, but he's in possession of the belt.
He stole the belt and ran off with it anyway. So October 9th is a combination of a lot of rivalries, and we're getting really deep into right before Wrestle Kingdom, which I cannot wait for, of course. Wrestle Kingdom is January 4th, as it always is in the Tokyo Dome. We're getting a lot of great rivalries coming up from that, and I'm really, really stoked about it. Yeah, but that's Road to Destruction, October 9th. And then right after that, guys, we're not going to get too much into it because they haven't released the brackets yet. But it's the Best of the Super Junior Tag Team Tournament, and I'm really stoked for that too. That's always great wrestling, and very stoked to see who they're going to bring in, even from AEW, maybe, or Impact into New Japan. They usually do for the Junior Tag Team Tournament.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff coming up in New Japan. Listen, we're going to take one quick break. We come back, we're going to preview WWE Fastlane, kind of zip through it, because there's only four matches on the card as of right now. And then we're going to go to our curtain call. We're going to count down our top five submissions in pro wrestling history. If you got some, leave them in the chat. We'll read them while we're going over this. We'll be right back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina, is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating, or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right,
I love that WCW Hulk Hogan theme so much better than Real American. Because that's all Jimmy Hart, too. Get the red, white, and blue going through his face.
Yeah, anyway, that's good stuff. Glad you enjoy it. Yeah.
I did. That caught me by surprise. I got kind of hyped there.
Oh, that makes me happy.
I was just kind of like going, and then I heard the burp, and I was like, there it is.
Anyway, that's been on every time I run that ad, it's the same.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, well, now you do, and every time we do the show, you'll get to hear it again.
I don't listen to the show. I don't like to hear myself. That's why I don't listen. I don't listen to my recordings when we play shows.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, that you don't get to hear yourself, so you don't get to improve, each and every time, because you don't get to hear what you did wrong.
Yeah, I like to keep a stagnant mediocrity throughout my entire career of podcasting and music, so that I don't want to improve. Then I got to get better.
No, I gotcha. Listen, we're gonna get better because they're gonna have more than four matches on this card. WWE Fastlane takes place this Saturday, October the 7th. I don't know where it's gonna be emanating from. Right now, four matches on the card. The LWO, a team of Santos Escobar, Rey Mysterio, one of the other guys, taking on Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. You got John Cena who was originally scheduled to be in a handicap match, found himself a partner to take on the Bloodline in LA Knight. So it'll be John Cena and LA Knight taking on Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso of the Bloodline.
Poor LA Knight. Poor LA Knight's got to carry that damn team.
I know we're trying to zip through it because we're up against it here, but like, it's interesting what's going on with Jimmy Uso over on SmackDown. They were cutting a promo with him and Solo, and Paul Heyman was doing his thing, and Jimmy puts out his hand to ask for the mic that like Roman Reigns, you know, is known to do. So really interesting stuff here because we don't know which direction they're taking the Bloodline in at this point. You've got more stuff on the card here. Io Sky was put in a triple threat match thanks to her you know, friend in Damage Control, Bayley, against both Asuka and Charlotte Flair. And then your World Heavyweight Championship will be contested in a last man standing match as Nakamura, I believe this will be his last chance to knock off Seth Rollins. The gimmick, the storyline here is that Rollins has a bad back and that Nakamura makes sure he does not want Seth Rollins to get back up here. PJ, anything in particular you're looking forward to out of any of these four matches so far?
Yeah, you know who has bad backs? Finn Balor and Sting because of Seth Rollins. No, I'm kidding. No injuries or anyone's fault. I'm just being dumb. But no, I'm looking forward to it. It's a pretty good pay-per-view. I'm sad that WWE has to just take ideas from WCW, you know, the LWO, you know.
Yeah, we didn't even get to go into that. We got to go into that.
No, we'll go into that next week. I just think it's funny.
James Laughlin coming in 50-50.
Now I just don't. I like it. I don't like it at the same time. That's how I feel about Cherry Pie. There, James. I like it. And sometimes I don't. Not the song. The song's terrible. But the pie. But
yeah. Listen,
I'm excited. WWE's been doing some really good things, and I've actually been enjoying Io Sky's run with her title, and then Rollins and Nakamura have been putting on fantastic matches, which is, I mean, I always pat myself on the back because who won Money in the Bank this year?
Damian Priest. Money in the Bank.
That's right. And everyone was like, I said it should have been Nakamura, and everyone laughed at me. And I'm like, well, Nakamura and Rollins could have put on great matches. I don't know, man. And I'm like, dude, look at the matches they're putting on. It's insane. I love it. Yeah. So I think I'll enjoy this, hopefully.
Yeah, listen, Fastlane this Saturday, there's going to probably be more matches added to the card. South Carolina's on a bye week, so if you're a football fan and you're a South Carolina fan like me, you got nothing else to do Saturday night, check out WWE Fastlane. PJ, we are up against the end of the show, but if anybody that's listening remembers correctly, we like to end our show on a curtain call where we give our top five countdowns of just different kind of pro wrestling topics, and this week, PJ elected to do top five favorite submissions. I'm not going to give mine in any order, but I do have my top five in mind. So, PJ, give me one of yours.
Number five, I'm not sure if this counts. I kind of was going back and forth, but I said the Mandible Claw. That counts, right?
It does. I mean, the idea that it was billed as like a pressure point underneath the tongue when they first
did it. Yeah, I kind of like it. It's weird. It's cool. I've always liked the Mandible Claw.
Dang it. I have always been fond of, and it's probably in the top two, but like I said, I did it in no particular order. I've always been fond of the Texas Cloverleaf. Like,
yes, yeah. That's
Slinko,
yeah.
Texas Cloverleaf was on another level. Another new viewer of the show, Amanda Parker, coming in. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Fun face to see. Texas Cloverleaf, PJ. Give me another one on your list of five.
Number four was Texas Cloverleaf, too.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
All right,
yeah.
Give me another one then, because I'm probably going to have one that you have.
Well, number three was the Dragon Sleeper. I love that.
Ooh, that's not on my list.
Ultimate Dragon, like Dragon Sleeper kind of style.
I kind of want to go back and listen to the story. Doug loves the story behind the guy who created the Mandible Claw. So I kind of want to go back and
you know who did that? That was Satan, because he was trying to get the apple out of Eve's mouth, and then he had the idea to have the Mandible. That's real life.
That's not true.
It's in the good book, yeah.
Well, I guess I'm not a great Christian because I haven't. No, don't say that. No, let's get back to wrestling, okay? Next on my list is the Crippler Crossface. They don't call it the Crippler Crossface anymore because of who did it, but it was just one of those moves that, like, if you get wrapped up the wrong. I mean, granted, I think Danielson does something very similar now, but the Crippler Crossface is a phenomenal move. PJ, give me another one on your list.
Yeah, that was Crippler Crossface.
Shut up. I'm just taking them. Okay, then I'll give another one. The not the Walls of Jericho, the Lion Tamer.
Yeah, the Lion Tamer was sick.
The Lion Tamer was like, okay, he's gonna hurt. That's gonna hurt his back. Like, what's going on here? Matter of fact, I don't know if you ever saw there was an MMA fight once when somehow somebody lucked into getting somebody in the Lion Tamer and just wrenched back on it. And the dude tapped out what a crazy move. All right, PJ, give me another one of yours.
Well, my number one, so let's see. So it was Mandible Claw, Texas Cloverleaf, Dragon Sleeper, Cripple Crossface. My number one is the Scorpion Deathlock. Because I always just thought it was super fun. I know you could put it with a sharpshooter, but it's the way they turn. But I the intensity, the way Sting used to put it on, it reminded me of when, you know, Angle puts on the ankle lock and, you know, there was more intensity in it, whereas Hart would just sit. But I really enjoy the Scorpion Deathlock. That's my favorite submission finisher. Submission.
Sharpshooter was right there for me too. Like sharpshooter, Scorpion Deathlock. They go hand in hand, and so it's right there with me.
You got any honorable mentions? Because like the ankle lock is an honorable mention for me, but I don't want to put it on the list because it was so easy to get out of technically.
So my one of mine was on the list that we haven't mentioned yet because sharpshooter was my number one, but I hadn't gotten to my fourth. It's gonna be really simple. It's the sleeper hold. It's the sleeper hold, the rear naked choke. Like it's simple. Like the idea is that you're gonna choke out your opponent, and especially if you get like the Samoa Joe Coquina clutch where he wraps his legs and does the whole rear naked choke. Like that's pretty, you know, it's pretty, you know, up there.
You should just call the sleeper hold Frick's football show because that's what puts me to sleep.
I bet it does. The
that's me. That doesn't put
no. I could have signed off the show, but you wanted more honorable mentions. I was always very keen of the torture rack. I love
I love the torture because it was again, it was unique. I also like the Indian Deathlock. Do you remember how Triple H used to put it on, where he would like stomp on your knee and then he would turn over and do it? That was always pretty fun.
Obviously, the figure four's got to be up there. You know, I put plenty of people in the figure four. I put in the figure four. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. What was Regal's move? Did he have like the Regal stretch?
The Regal stretch.
Yeah.
That was like an STF.
It's STF. That's right. Yeah. Because Eddie Guerrero would do that too, right? Yeah. He'd call it something else.
And then you've had the I forgot what it's called, but it's the luchador one where it's the, or maybe they did it in Japan too, but it was like the bridge where they grab their legs and cross their legs together.
And
got them over their heads.
Eddie Guerrero would do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'd probably have to say the camel clutch, the Steiner recliner, like that just.
God, he looked so good putting that on, man. It was like it was effortless. He was putting that on.
Yep. And you know, obviously, like logistically adding logic to illogical situations, obviously as somebody taking the stretch, all you can do is move your arms down and you're out of it. But
that's on the full Nelson, you know, the master lock or whatever. You know?
That's good stuff.
Just put your just go down.
Yeah. Just slide down.
That's all you got to do. Just slide down.
Just slow down. PJ, this has been an awesome episode. We sort of rushed to the end of it, but it's I don't know. I don't think we did rush it. I think I gave you enough time to talk some New Japan. We had some good conversation about
Edge. The only thing I wanted to talk about, I'm going to talk about New Japan. So it was good. We got a lot of great comments, and we really appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, thanks for everybody who was a part of the show tonight. Everybody gave us some love over on Facebook. Michael Davis, we got Zach, Fousey, James, Jamal, obviously everybody that was in the chat, Mama Frick was in here, Doug and James Laughlin.
Does it still have a lot of people watching?
Yeah, two people left. They didn't want to hear anything more about Fastlane, so they turned. And not to mention, it's past 8 o'clock. They might be watching Monday Night Raw now. So
yeah. Well, I'm going to finish my lasagna. And thank you very much, Frick. This is really, really nice. Coming up next, guys, I know you know, he mentioned football was on a bye. He's probably getting some football shows coming up in the gun. But we've also got something in the gun, and that is part 8. Are we on part 8 or 7?
7.
We're on part 7. Heaven. Of the – 7 Heaven? you know I was on that show, 7th Heaven?
No, you were not.
2 episodes, I swear. Yeah, because they was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina.
All right, we'll talk about that off the air because I want to see that. I've got the Carolina Panthers Cat Cave podcast coming up later this week. We're going to talk. Carolina Panthers are 0-4, and so we're going to get to talk about what's going right, what's going wrong. Not a lot going right for the Carolina Panthers. And then Banker Bill and I will be back live on Wednesday to talk pro football, fantasy football. We got a lot of conversation about college football last week. Some more to be talking about this week. And then we've got part 7 of the PJ's Time Machine talk of WWF 1997 on the way, as well as I'm sure we're going to talk WWE Fastlane at the end of this weekend. So stay tuned for all the awesome content we've got coming for you coming here on this show. For PJ Steven, it's your guy, Bully Rye. Thanks, everybody, for being part of the show tonight. And we'll see you next time right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.